Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, I thought we were going to have a montage there, but that's all right.
Montage works really well, but I didn't have any good audio. Not good audio. I didn't have any audio. Sorry. You're disappointed in me now, aren't you?
Every day.
Well, at least I keep something going.
Every day. Well, welcome. Great to have you with us. After another fun-filled weekend. Let's see. Obviously, we'll have a lot of talk about Penn State during the show. There's two things that I'm going to concentrate on. One of them is short term and one is big picture. Big picture, the program is going to be just fine. I have no issue with the big picture. In fact, I liken this to when you face a really good pitcher on the mound, a really good pitcher. The old saying is you better get the dude early. If you don't, you'll never get him. Right? Always used to say that about Koufax, used to say that about Pedro Martinez. You said, you know, you better get him early. If you don't, you'll never get him. If you don't get Penn State now, there are going to be rare occasions down the road where you're going to be able to get him. Okay? That's where they are. Now, short term, the issue short term is all completely about margin of error. And when you're in a situation where the margin of error is thin, and I have talked about this. I talked about this in April, May, June, July. I mean, you're not hearing anything from me that is any change up from anything I have said along the way, correct? I haven't changed my tune. Why? Because I've been very honest and direct with people from day one as to what the issues happen to be, right? I talked about the offensive line in April, May, June, July, August, September. I talked about, you know, they need to be better on special teams. When you're in this situation short term, your margin of error is very thin. Very thin. Penn State, for example, had one turnover in the game. One. Cost them 3 points. In a five-point game, which was really a three-point game. So giveaway, takeaway, you end up even in that game. Where if you walk out plus one, you might have a different scenario. Okay? Margin of error. You can't allow three consecutive drives to start on the plus side of the field. Michigan, for example, this is how they tied the game and then took the lead. On three consecutive possessions, Michigan took over at the Penn State 28 following the interception, which led to a very impressive, time-consuming, four-play, three-yard drive, which was then followed up by a mediocre punt. And Michigan took over at the Penn State 46, which was then followed up by Michigan's very impressive, time-consuming, three-play, one-yard drive. And a punt. Then after another punt, Michigan took over at the Penn State 49, this time a six-play, 29-yard drive, which ended up in a field goal, which put them in front to stay. So in that three consecutive sequences, Michigan ran 13 plays And in the 13 plays, they gained 33 yards and scored 6 points. When the margin of error is thin, you need to play great defense, which they are. I mean, it's out of the six opponents, they've held five of them under 300 yards. But you need complementary special teams that changes the field position. And yes, there's no doubt the fake punt, okay, when you had the potential to knock them inside and keep the field position yours in a long field, the fake punt didn't go. So it's all margin of error. It's thin. When you have bigger numbers, you have more players, you have a more wide open margin of error. You can make mistakes and get away with it. They can't make a lot of mistakes because they can't. The domino effect of not being able to run the ball, the domino effect of not being able to consistently pass protect, and the number of players you put into the pattern, very difficult to do. And thus, you need to play great defense, and you need to have your special teams be a plus. Now, let's get Sam Ficken on special teams. Okay? Kickoffs are either in the end zone or they're pinning teams down pretty well. So he's doing a heck of a job. The other part about Sam Ficken that's a big plus is that he does give a little margin of error to the offense, because the offense feels that they can get the ball to the 30-yard line, they're going to get points. If they get the ball to the 30-yard line, there's a good chance they're going to get points with him, because he's really playing that well. So when you're playing great defense and you're struggling in offense, you need to have your special teams along for the ride here. They need to punt the ball better, and also they need to always cover well. It would be great if they get a little bit more out of the return. They're getting nothing out of kickoff returns right now, despite Grant Haley's speed and so forth. I mean, he's made a couple of mistakes. I mean, he tripped over the 20-yard line the other night. Nobody touched him. And Jesse Della Valle is giving them a little bit more out of punt returns lately, and they had the one called back the other night, which would have been a big play in the game. It would have been a big play in the game, and it got called back for a block in the back. And, you know, and I didn't see it, but you know what? In a melee like that, you're not going to. It's hard for you to see it. You have to be down there specifically looking for it, which is what they are. So that's where you are. Now, as a program, keep this in mind. When you take an entire recruiting class, which is what you have here, and basically you've blown it up, where are you going to be? In FCS, what's the number in FCS right now? You're allowed to have, what, 64 scholarship
guys?
Yeah,
we were talking about it the other day. I think it's 63 at most schools.
What is it? What's the number?
I think it's 63.
All right. You know how many scholarship players Penn State has?
That's right around that number, isn't it?
64.
Yeah, that's what I kept saying. I mean, you got to understand, this is an FCS amount of scholarships.
Okay, so this is what you have right now. Penn State is allowed to have 75 scholarship players. They're allowed to have that right now. And they can sign 25. Next year, they're allowed to have 85. There is no way mathematically they get to 85 next year. Mathematically, they cannot do it. Depends on the number of guys you have that have used up their eligibility, graduate, whatever. Okay? And Penn State has more than that number, and you add 25 to it, it's not going to happen. So they have 64 recruited scholarship players. Four of the recruited scholarship players, like any team in the country, they have injuries. Miles Diefenbach, Ben Klein, Adam Brenneman, Jake Kiley. Three of the four, by the way, happen to be starters. Okay, not playing this season. So now you're down to 60. You have five former walk-ons who have been placed on scholarship. You also have two former players that left the team that are still enrolled at Penn State. Oh, and by the way, they count toward the 75, and they will count next year toward the 85. They still count because of the NCAA sanction. Right now, Penn State has, of the 64 scholarship players, 7 seniors, 11 juniors, 15 sophomores, 7 redshirt freshmen, and 24 true freshmen. Of the 12 seniors on the roster, 11 of the seniors are on scholarship. 8 were actually recruited as scholarship players. 7 are available to play. The one that couldn't is Miles Diefenbach. Bill Belton is the only senior starter on offense. Adrian Amos, Mike Hall, Ryan Kaiser, C.J. Alani, and are the 4 senior starters on defense. That's typical. That's average there. 4 senior starters on defense. You know, it may be slightly below average, but that's not bad. But again, defense is playing at a very high level. So that's not an issue. Sam Ficken is the only senior starter on special teams. 8 true freshmen have played through so far through the opening 6 games. 4 on defense, 3 on offense, one of course is the punter. 5 redshirt freshmen. And by the way, you're saying, oh, Gula. No, Gula's a redshirt freshman. They say one punter. That's actually Daniel Pescarillo, who's punted in 2 games this year. 5 redshirt freshmen have seen significant playing time through the opening 6 games. Deshaun Hamilton, Brendan Mann, Andrew Nelson, and Chris Gula are all starters. A total of 11 redshirt freshmen have made their Penn State debuts this season. Donovan Smith is the only scholarship offensive tackle among the sophomore, junior, and senior classes. He's it. There are 4 scholarship true freshmen as offensive tackles. They have not played. The idea is they are really trying very hard to redshirt them. We talked about Rutgers. When Penn State went into the Rutgers game, I talked at that point that Rutgers had their 5 starters on the offensive line had 109 career starts between them. So let's take away, it was their 3rd game, so let's take away 15 starts. They had 94 starts between them when the season began. You want to know how many starts Penn State's offensive linemen have had going into the season? 20. All by Donovan Smith. All by one guy. The bottom line is that everything that was supposed to happen to the program hasn't all materialized, but everything has been done to put the program behind the eight ball. Everything. Let's let 13 guys transfer right away without having to set out a year. Hey, that puts you down to begin with. You get to go to 65 scholarships. You can only recruit 15 in a year. So one recruiting class had 11. Now, to be honest with you, 2012 was really good in part because Joe Paterno and his staff actually recruited a lot of really good players, and that's how they were able to stay afloat. Right? So short-term, small margin of error, that's problems. Long-term, health will be good.
It's time to get serious. Serious about savings at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is serious about saving you money on Hyundais. Save over $4,500 off. Select new in-stock 2014 Elantra Limiteds with 38 MPG. And of course, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles.
You can't get that on a Toyota, Honda, or Nissan.
Save over $6,000 off select in-stock 2014 Sonata Limiteds with 32 MPG. Choose from a great selection of both 2014 and 2015 Hyundais in stock and drastically reduced. Looking for safety, performance, fuel economy, reliability, and value, Sunbury Motors Hyundai has you covered.
And we've been selling more cars by satisfying more customers since 1915.
Don't get caught up in gimmicks or bogus guarantees. Get to your value headquarters and the Susquehanna Valley's home for Hyundais. Seriously, Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
And at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855. Check us out online at purdyinsurance.com or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Bucknell won over the weekend, beat Lehigh, bounced back now, 5-1 on the year. Now get a chance to play some home games. As Trey LaLetta had an outstanding game with 313 yards and four touchdowns. And Will Carter was great with seven catches for 246 yards and three scores in the game. We are scheduled to talk with Joe Susan here shortly. Also, Dave Bryan joining us today from SteelerDepot.com to talk about why a certain safety needs to retire.
No, there was more than a certain safety issue yesterday. There's more issues than just that.
Check the tape.
What, you didn't think the offense had some issues? I mean, how do you not score?
Dude, I know you own his jersey, but the dude's killing him. Time to go. here, I'll cover this tight end. That's not your guy, Troy. Troy, that guy over there, the wide open guy, that's your guy. Okay, there you go. Yeah, seven completions, three to your guy. There you go. Big issue. We're going to talk to Joe Susan here in a few moments and get to him. They beat Lehigh. The first time that they've been asked to bounce back this year, they bounced back right away. It's pretty impressive that they did that. And finally get some home games coming up here. Not yet, but they've got some home games finally coming. They got Georgetown this week. Or excuse me, they got bye week this week. Then it's Georgetown. Then finally in November, the Promised Land. 3 of 4 at home. So bye week coming up for Bucknell this weekend. Then they go to Georgetown to take on the Hoyas. That'll be a 2 o'clock kick on the 25th. Then in November, they have Lafayette and Fordham back-to-back on a Saturday and a Friday. Then they go up to Worcester for Holy Cross on the 15th, and then they have Colgate. And that will be on the 22nd. That will be in Lewisburg. So. So, well, Kevin, all those Polamalu jerseys, it's a shame. Now we're becoming relics. They do have an offensive problem, by the way. They have a huge offense. I don't understand why a team, okay, has a Pouncey, a DeCastro. Offensive line not bad. Has one of the top six quarterbacks in the game. Has a tailback I think a lot of people would love to have in Le'Veon Bell. And a guy that inside the 10-yard line is a hammer in LeGarrette Blount. Has an extremely functional tight end a lot of people would love to have in Heath Miller. Now I realize Antonio Brown, despite the faux record and all that stuff. That record is. They're making records up. It's like war. Let's make up a record.
No, I agree with you there. I agree with that. It's kind of a made-up record.
Kind of, it is. Let's do make believe stuff to make a guy happy. Really, I don't care about happiness. Okay, this is football. I want to see wins. Okay, it's the National Football League. It's style point. There's no style points in the NFL. Okay, everybody's got the same amount of players. The whole deal. Okay, and now Antonio Brown is actually a great number two. Right? He's not really what you'd call a number one. He's a great number two. He's not really a number one. Now, there's a domino effect to that. When you're when a guy that is that should be put in as a two is a one, that means suddenly you've got guys that really aren't twos, threes, and fours now having to assume the roles of two, threes, and fours. That's the domino effect. That's why, for example, in baseball, you lose your closer. Oh, but the setup guy is really great. So we didn't lose that much. Yeah, you did. Well, what do you mean? Well, who's setting up? Oh. There's a domino effect when you lose somebody. Dez Bryant is a one. Brandon Marshall's a one. I mean, there aren't that many of them. Larry Fitzgerald of Arizona, obviously, is a one. I think Crabtree of the 49ers is. The Patriots don't have anybody to one. Their leading receiver is probably a guy that should be a three. That's Julian Edelman. It's one of the issues Tom Brady's had over the years, that they've never really given him a one. Buzz in Northumberland. Hi, Buzz. I thought we had Buzz.
I think we do. Buzz.
Hi, Buzz.
Steve, I was wondering, according to the show on KO was, I can't remember the guy's name, but they were lamenting about the demise of baseball and how many great cities there were and how people that in their own city didn't watch other teams anymore and that, you know, they can't understand the lack of interest. I wonder, to me, it's football season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not interested in baseball come September unless my team's in the playoffs. So, you know, there's been so many changes in sports and scheduling and the world. Do you think that maybe they just play too doggone many baseball games anymore? Should they look at shortening the season to make it more important and to make it more interesting?
I've always said that, Buzz, that economically they can't really do it because the salaries are so high and they need inventory, which are games, to make up for that. But in reality, to me, baseball season should start the first weekend in April and should go to Labor Day. And the playoffs should be
it. But it just it lasts too long.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I'd end it Labor Day. I'd end it Labor Day weekend and have the playoffs and everything done by sometime September's over, because by the time you get to October, America is looking at football and baseball. They're going, I'm sorry, that's not happening. And you could see it in the TV ratings. I mean, the top rated programs are all NFL things. And Kevin May whine, moaning. Well, it's actually Kevin Wine supposed to complains about everything, but. Kevin whines, moans, and complains about Thursday night football being lousy game, lousy game, lousy game. The ratings show that people are watching. Okay?
Well, these guys
and
this,
in base,
these guys
baseball, they aren't.
That, I'm sorry. These guys this morning said that even over the weekend, with all the different college games and then the baseball playoffs, that more people watch college football than they did the baseball playoffs.
No question. And that's because the number one sport in this country is football. As much as I love baseball, others like baseball, you know, it's just the problem is that they have baseball's biggest problem for years is that baseball couldn't get out of its own way. And they still think that they're in the 50s and the 60s,
exactly
that they are the number
point.
One sport in the country. And they're not,
exactly
and they have not adapted well with the times.
Okay. Well, that's what I was thinking. I just, again, I love the game, but it lasts too long. I mean, the season lasts too long under today's conditions, and the games don't have the meaning when you're playing the 100 and however many games they play. How many are there? 146?
162.
Okay, so if they shorten that to 140, it would just give that much more value to the games that are left. Shorten the season, and, well, nothing's going to happen. I was interested in your opinion. Thank you.
No, I think you're spot on, Buzz. I think we're on the same page.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Tony in Shamokin is next. Hi, Tony.
Morning. Good afternoon, Steve.
Morning and good afternoon to you, too.
We still could have won it.
By the way, good morning to those of you listening on the West Coast. How's that?
Tony, they still could have won the doggone thing, and that's what's frustrating about the whole thing.
See,
that's where the margin of error point comes in. They have one turnover in the game, one, and it cost them 3 points in a game you couldn't lose 3 points. And that's where they are. Michigan could make mistakes left and right and still win the game. Penn State can't make a lot of mistakes.
That margin of error, Jesus, can't even talk right, include officiating.
Everybody talking about the onside kick.
Again, that was pathetic. That was terrible. But to me, just as important was the penalty on the punt return.
Right.
I
didn't see the penalty on the punt return, but at the same time, it doesn't mean one didn't happen. I don't know, because I'm trying to concentrate on the ball and see where he ends up, and I look back, I see a flag. You and I both know 9 times out of 10 that flag means that there's a block in the back, and I don't care whether it's high school, pros, or college. That's what it is. Now, whether it happened or not, I don't know.
That was bad.
Yeah.
That wasn't even close. And that referee, Dave Wendelvet, or whatever his name is, he manages to pull 2 or 3 of them every game against Penn State and other teams. But I've never seen him yet do it against Michigan.
Right.
I mean, that can sound a honor as far as I'm concerned.
There are a lot of people talking about it. There are a lot of people who talked about what his crew has done and not done over the years. And I don't I don't really want to get into it. And
I know,
it
I
only because I don't I don't think it doesn't do me any good, I can tell you.
You know, does Penn State have when they pick officials for the game, does Penn State have a choice of who they are?
No, they're assigned by the conference office.
That's a shame. Oh, before I hang up, I have one question for Kevin.
Yes, sir.
What was the score and who won the Shamokin Schick game?
27-13 Shamokin.
Really?
If my memory serves correctly. That was a few games ago. Their numbers float around in my head, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
I figured that's one of the reasons you had no audio, too. All
right. No, actually, I do have it coming up at the top of the next hour. We had a little bit of problem with Learfield Sports site to download Steve's, and I didn't want it to make it just be all me. That would sound egotistical. And all right, maybe I should have just left it be me then. It would have been fine.
Hey, have a nice day, guys.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
As usual, Kevin has questions that he's typed out here.
Well, actually, okay. These are not my questions.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense. That makes no sense.
Okay, then we're done.
Okay. No, let's get to them. Why run the Wildcat when it's not run right? How do you know it's not run right? It's just you have to execute the thing, and they're not executing it well. It's taking too long to set it up. I do like when they run the Wildcat and it has an option off of it. I think Bill Belton is not doing a good job in the Wildcat of giving the ball on an option read to Akeel Lynch. I'll say this about Lynch. Lynch finishes runs. Even if Lynch is hit at the line of scrimmage or for a 1 yard gain, you notice he'll gain 3 because he finishes his runs. And I think that's the part of it where if they're going to run read option with it, do it with a read option in such a way where Lynch actually gets the ball more than once than he has. So Belton has to do a better job in that read option of reading it and being selfless about it. The fake punt, as you know, the fake punt happened at a point where it was 4th and long. You know, as James Franklin said after the game, if I could have that one back, I said, there's certain plays you want back. I'd like to have that one back. I think everyone knows. Okay, it doesn't take a genius. I know all of Kevin's ilk out there has talked to him about it like they're the only people in the world that ever talk about things. I would have preferred to have seen them play a field position game with the way the defense was playing and dump the ball inside the 15-yard line. Okay, that would have been me. And why did Bill not recruit linemen? They did, okay, recruit linemen. But only a couple linemen here and there they recruited, okay? Oh, geez, stop with the questions. All right.
Just
jump in, all right? I mean, just jump in.
Okay, all right. Another question I heard this weekend is, what's the stat? Okay, go ahead.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more after this. Welcome back. Great to have you with us here as we roll through this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Great to have you with us. All right, so let's go through the – we already talked about the fake punt and get killed field position. And in a field position game, that obviously was a obviously one that wasn't going to change anything. The Wildcat, you're trying to change things up. Is it being run right? Maybe up to a point. Again, I would like to see him get the ball to Akeel Lynch more in that. I think he's got to read that thing better and give another running back a shot instead of keeping it himself. Geno Lewis was bumped up during the course of the week, and I think James referred to him briefly in the postgame about some other things they need him to do. The one thing that he does better than anybody else in that group, though, that has to be kept in mind is he plays very well without the ball, which means if they run the flanker screen, he's probably the best blocker of the group. So when he is actually not in there, the one area that he does hurt not having him in there is that when they run a flanker screen, the other guys, Blacknall, Godwin, and Deshaun Hamilton, when they run that stuff, they are not the blocker he is. And that's the one area that you got to keep in mind, that without the ball, he's probably the best of that group at doing it. And what was the other question?
No, that was it. Those are the ones. Those were the ones.
17,000 written down. So every time I turn around, you're typing one. It's like, you know, you can speak. So
those are the ones I was asked to ask you.
Okay, fine. You know, but you can say them. I don't sit here and keep reading them. And that's where they are at this point. But I think James referenced Lewis after the game in some, but I didn't hear it in as to what he said. I do know that during the week he was bumped up just a bit. That part I do know. Certain other things that are, you know, are not quick fixes, and that's going to be a problem. I mean, they just, you know, they are not quick fixes, but it's designed. This whole thing is designed to do what it's doing. And I understand everyone, they're passionate about it. I understand the anger about how they play, because that's a winnable game. They could have easily swung that game their way with a couple of things without question. The defense gave up two plays in the game, two. They gave up a 25-yard run to Devin Gardner, and Bars, you know, went to the inside in that and shouldn't have. That's probably, it was earlier in the game, and I think that at that point they didn't realize they had a real handle on him, because they did. And the other one was the misplay by Ryan Kaiser on the ball to Funchess. I mean, that's an absolute misplay, just the way it goes. I mean, Ryan normally is really good at going up to the high point and getting a ball like that. He did not go to the high point and get the ball. And that was something that was a point of emphasis all week. But that's it. Those are the only two plays in the game where I look at the defense and go, "App didn't play that well." Everything else, you know, Darbo made some really good catches. I mean, really good catches on third down. I got to give him credit for that. They controlled the running game. They controlled Gardner. When he was healthy, they controlled him. I mean, when Gardner was healthy in the game, they controlled him. Offensively, they got out to a good start and had some flow and some rhythm offensively early, but they never got it back again. They never got it back. And then the field position thing killed them. I mean, Penn State's trying to come out from the 5-yard line with 95 yards. Hard. Very hard. And they could never, they only had 72 yards total in the second half. 72. But you got to be able, okay, in special teams area, okay, right now they're getting nothing out of a kickoff return. And when I mean nothing in relative to me, anything inside the 25-yard line is not a good kick return. Anything inside the 25 is not a good kick return. So they're not getting a lot out of kick returns right now. Punt return, they're actually getting something out of, but as Tony referenced, the block in the back thing, because that was actually a potential game-changing punt return by Della Valle at that point, and there was a block in the back. And then he did have the 41-yard return against Northwestern, which set up a field goal. So they're getting a little bit more out of that. Their punt coverage has been good, except for the Shuler punt return against Northwestern. They gave up no punt return yardage by Norfleet in this game. But part of that was the fact that Chris Gula, we all know, didn't punt the ball well in the game. As I pointed out, there's three possessions right in a row where Michigan took over on the plus side of the field. Now, Michigan this season has scored a touchdown on every single possession that they have scored on the plus side of the field. Every possession this season until Saturday night. They gave up, Penn State gave up two field goals and a punt. But still, it was the two field goals. One tied the game, the other one put them in front to stay. Now, conversely, going for a safety in the onside kick, as Jack and I explained before the punt, that's how you had to play it. You had to play it that way. So short-term, frustrating. Short-term, lot to overcome. Long-term, they'll be in good health. We'll come back. Kevin will type more questions in a moment. Why did we give you a keyboard?